So today we hear about a well. And when we think about a well, we think about a place where we go to quench a thirst for water. And because Lent leads us to Holy Week, I want to take a moment today and I want to answer this question. Do you remember on the cross, Jesus says, I thirst. Remember that? I thirst. When Jesus says, I thirst, was it to quench his thirst? To quench his thirst. That's the question I want to lead us up to today. And I'm going to answer that for you, especially as we get closer and closer to Holy Week. But for you and I really to have an appreciation of this story today, we have to have a little knowledge of history. Jesus finds himself at Sychar, a town in Samaria. And he finds himself specifically at Jacob's well. Read Genesis chapter 29, and you'll hear the story of Jacob's well. There that Jacob meets Rachel, there's love at first sight. Yes, there's conniving on the part of Laban, Rachel's father, but eventually they are married. And what you realize at that time is between the Jewish people and the Samaritan people, there is peace. They share a common faith, a common knowledge, a common devotion to God. There isn't this idea of division. Now, today's gospel, we realize how things have changed. Okay, there is much more division. The division is deep. As a matter of fact, many times in the Gospels, when you hear about a Jewish person in Samaria, what did they do? They went around Samaria rather than walk through it. That tells you there's a deep, deep division. Okay, the division is deep. Okay, and that's why in the story of today, we can hear a Samaritan woman say this, how can you, a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan, for a drink? There's this divide. The peace is gone. And I'm going to come back to that, and we're going to wrap up that later on in the homily of today. And I'm going to answer the question, were they ever able to once again reconcile, to be at peace? So let me build up to that later on in this homily. As a matter of fact, I'll conclude my homily by answering that question for you today. But we realize Jacob's well is this. It's the local watering hole. Hey, when I grew up, the local watering hole was, I'm going to be honest with you, it was the bar in Freeborn. It was Pete's Bar. I can remember from time to time my dad would stop by Pete's Bar in the summer months and he would leave me in the pickup. Different times. Okay, the pickup would be unlocked. Windows would be rolled down. People were friendly. You know, they'd walk by, you'd be sticking your head out the window, and they'd say hi, or else they'd just keep walking and minding their own business. But the one thing I learned about Pete's Bar was this. Not only was it the local watering hole, it's where you went to get the latest scuttlebutt and gossip. Okay? Now, when Dad came out, if Dad did what he did today, he'd probably get arrested. Okay? Child abandonment, or whatever they call it. All right? Times have changed. But when my dad came out, because I was so small, he never shared the scuttlebutt or the gossip. He never did that. He may talk about who he had a beer with and maybe how many beers. He had a couple of beers, but it was never the scuttlebutt. It was never the gossip. Now, Jacob's well wasn't just a local watering hole. That was a place where people got scuttlebutt and gossip. You hear that? That's why the woman goes out at noon. She's the gossip. Even married 5 times, divorced 5 times, and the man you're with now, he's not even going to marry you. What kind of person are you? And yet, she has to go because of something that's so base to man and beast alike, and it is this, that we need to quench our thirst. We need water to quench our thirst. And so with that, let's turn ourselves ahead now to the story of Jesus' crucifixion and death. Because from the cross, we hear him proclaim these words, I thirst. They're the 7 last words of Jesus, and the 7 last words from Jesus from the cross are the following. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Today, you will be with me in paradise. Woman, behold your son, behold your mother. my God, why have you abandoned me? I thirst. It's finished. And Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. With Jesus in today's gospel, when he goes to the well, was he there to help quench his thirst? No question. No question. That's why he finds himself at the well. When Jesus proclaims from the cross, I thirst, was it to quench his thirst? Well, let me share with you some thoughts on that today. Do you remember when Jesus was initially nailed to the cross? Some people say before it, whenever it might be. They take a sponge, they mix it with hyssop, vinegar, and gall, and they stick it up to his face, and he refuses to drink. Do you remember that? Why is that? Because that was very common practice with criminals who were to be executed. They give them vinegar mixed with gall, and really what its purpose was to take away some of the suffering. Some people called it a kind of poison. And Jesus says, no, I won't drink it. The reasons being for this, and I learned this week, he wanted to experience the entirety of the punishment set out for him. He was crucified to atone for the sin of man and felt it would be unjust not to bear it in full. Jesus suffered to experience suffering in all its power and might. Okay, he says no. But about 5 hours later, all of a sudden he yells out, I thirst. And how are we to understand that? To understand it, we have to understand a heresy in the early church. There was a heresy called Docetism. And this is what Docetism taught. It taught this. This was a belief that Jesus only appeared to be human. As one not fully flesh and blood, Jesus would not experience hunger, thirst, pleasure, or pain. Thus, the heresy taught that Jesus did not experience the suffering of the crucifixion. In other words, his human appearance was a mere mirage. You could see Jesus, but he wasn't really fully human because he experienced no pain and no suffering. It's a heresy dealt with in the early church, and we find the church's response in our creed. Now, you're going to help me with this because there are two statements specifically that deal with it. Here's the first. In the creed, we hear phrases like this, Jesus, blank man. Fill in the blank. What was it? Jesus what? Became man. Here's the other one. And he blank death. Suffered death. The creed is saying this Jesus isn't only fully divine, he is also fully human. And being fully human from the cross, he yells out, I thirst. And here's what's going to surprise you. Was it to quench the thirst that he was feeling after suffering from 5 hours on the cross? The answer is this. Ready? No. No. Why? He didn't drink enough when he drank. Remember they stuck now vinegar up and he drank. Do you remember that now? He drinks. Okay? No, it wasn't to quench his thirst. He didn't drink enough to quench what must have been moderate to severe hydration from loss of blood, exposure to the elements, and the necessity of gasping for breath through his mouth. Okay? All he did was to take enough to parch this part of him, his throat, so that he could yell out in triumph, I thirst, and Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. And with that, everything changed. History changed. So think about that when you hear those words, I thirst. Was it to quench a thirst? No. It was enough so that he could yell out, Father, I commend my spirit. History changed. And so with that, let's go back to where I began. Whatever happened to the Jewish people and the Samaritan people? Jesus suffered, died, rose. 50 days later, we hear about the coming of the Holy Spirit. Apostles, disciples, they go out, preach. people begin to believe, because of the belief, jealousy, there's this great persecution. And so what happens? The church begins going to the four corners of the earth. Philip, a deacon, finds himself going to Samaria. And what does he do? He preaches Jesus. And what do the people do? They accept his teaching. And so what happens then when you read the story is Peter and John, two of the apostles, go into Samaria. They don't go around it. They go into it. They lay hands on the believers and they become one. The division is broken. There is once again peace. But for it to happen, as for the woman at the well, it took a person, and a person is Jesus Christ. Notice Jesus goes to the well, and what does he do? He waits. He waits and he waits. He waited for the woman, and in Lent, he waits for you and me to come to him so he can feed us, quench us, and he can heal us. So brothers and sisters, it's my final words today. Come to Jesus. Come to him. He waits to feed us. Come to him. Let's pray about that as we gather once again this day.